Hi, I'm here to introduce Linda Colson. Linda and I had opportunity to work together many years at Northside with kindergarten, and we have heard her speak earlier this year about the Keystone Family Alliance. This is an organization to help children, and now it's my privilege to introduce Linda to come and share what she has about this program.
Hello, thank you so much for having me here today. Like Jules said, my name is Linda Colson, and I am the assistant coordinator for Keystone Family Alliance for Jefferson and Clarion counties. And I want to talk a little bit about KeyFam today. But before I do that, I would like to read from the book of James 1, 26 through 27. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So I'm going to start with a little history about the organization Keystone Family Alliance. But before I do that, I want to just tell you briefly what we do. We're trying to bridge the gap between the child welfare system, foster families, and churches. So we try to find the needs of foster kiddos in the community in Jefferson County, and then we try to relay those needs to the churches. And so that we're acting like a bridge between the two, because many people don't really know, unless you're working for CYS, you may not really know what's going on with foster families and foster kiddos in the county. So we aim to educate, motivate, and equip every Christian in the state of Pennsylvania on the needs of orphans and vulnerable children, both locally and globally. We do this by helping people in these spaces feel seen and heard. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how this organization came to be. About 20 years ago, Vince Smith started pastoring a church in Centre County. He noticed that the congregation had never gone on a mission trip before. He decided to encourage them to go on an international mission trip to Zambia. That is where Vince became wrecked when he saw all the need around them and all the need with the orphans there. They were in the middle of the AIDS crisis at the time in Africa, and the life expectancy for a person in Africa 20 years ago was 30 years old. Children were trying to raise children, and there was a huge need everywhere. So the team came back from Zambia to America and decided to help start a school. Vince's church ended up sponsoring 30 children so that they had enough money for uniforms and basic necessities so they could go to school. They purchased a small building and started a school there. Vince saw that the church was ready and willing to help. They just didn't know what the exact needs were. This spurred him on to start praying with local pastors in Centre County to see how they could serve the community. As they were meeting and praying, the Lord placed on their hearts a need to help foster care kids. Keystone Family Alliance was started in Centre County, and since then it has grown to 40 counties across Pennsylvania, with the hopes of eventually growing into all 67 counties in PA. And to come full circle, Vince has taken over 20 trips back to Zambia. He loves to connect churches to the needs there. The school has moved from the little one-room building to a bigger spot, and they have over 80 children at the school. And it's first through seventh grade, and then at seventh grade they take tests to go into high school. Keystone Family Alliance just recently took a trip to Zambia, and I was blessed to be able to go on that trip. At the end of this presentation, I'll show you a few pictures and tell you a few stories about how God is working there. But now I want to return to Pennsylvania and give you a small picture of foster care, and this is an all too familiar scene. A CYS caseworker gets a call in the middle of the night because children needed to be removed from the home. The caseworker needs to find a placement for children. They are making calls in the middle of the night to foster families, and these families have to decide if they are willing to take on more children. Many of the foster parents receive the kids early in the morning, And then they're scrambling to find beds, cribs, car seats, clothing, diapers. The foster family's routine and schedule is disrupted in the weeks to come with court hearings, visitations, doctors, counseling appointments, and school district meetings. All of these things can be very taxing on a family. This actually just happened yesterday in Clarion County. They had to remove a few children from the home because one had an accident. She is currently in Children's Hospital. And so now there's a foster family that just got a couple kiddos and they are traveling to Children's Hospital for the third kiddo. So these things happen all the time. And unfortunately, we just really don't know the needs and we don't understand that this is happening. But again, all of this can be very taxing on the family. I know that this family already has three children of their own, so for them to be making trips to Children's Hospital is a big deal for this family. 50% of foster families burn out in the first year. 90% of foster families burn out in 2 years. But if they have support and a community to lean on, 90% of foster families continue to foster past the 2-year mark. Now let's move into another scenario. What if the caseworker cannot find a family in the county to take the children? The children sleep in the CYS office for the night, and then the caseworker looks for a family outside the county to take the children. The children are now pulled from their biological family. The siblings may be split up because CYS cannot find a family to take multiple children. The kids are pulled out of their school district, so they are not with familiar friends or teachers or guidance counselors that were a support to them. And this is just adding layers and layers of trauma onto the child. If a foster family isn't found, the children will be placed in a residential facility, not because they need residential rehabilitation, but because there are no families to take them in. This, again, is an all too familiar situation in Pennsylvania. There are 10,000 kids in Pennsylvania in foster care right now. Jefferson County has children placed in residential facilities because there are not enough foster families to take them. And at this time, Jefferson County has 55 kids in foster care. So how do we bridge the gap between the church and the community and the need? We have partnered with 9 churches in Jefferson County, and we are looking for some more partnerships. We also have a system called NeedBridge. It's something that you can sign up for to get an email that tells you of needs in the county. So for example, if a foster family needs a car seat or diapers or a winter coat, the needs will be placed on NeedBridge, and then you will see an email that says Jefferson County has a need. You can open the email, look at it, and if you think you could fill that need, you can click on it. If you can't fill the need and don't want to, then you just delete the email. There's no obligation to fill the need. But this is just a great way for the county to be able to see the needs. And a lot of times the needs are picked up so fast that you don't even see them. So this is just a great way to kind of spread things out around the people in the county. And Jefferson County has been very generous, and so has Clarion, with the needs of the foster families. Another way to help is with care communities. So we look for groups of 4 to 5 people or more to wrap around foster families. We look inside the churches in the county, and we call these groups care communities. And these communities help support the foster family by delivering a meal once a week, by praying for the family. Sometimes they'll provide babysitting if the family needs that, maybe once or twice a month, for a date night or something for the parents. And then the care communities are really individual depending on the needs of the family, but sometimes the family needs help folding laundry. I know one family in Clarion County has 5 foster kiddos, and sometimes they get overwhelmed with laundry. So they have people come in and help fold clothes. We've had other people help do yard work for them, or we had one care community detailed a car for the family. Just some little things to say, hey, we are seeing you, we support you. And again, when the family feels like they are being supported, they will foster longer. Another great thing about these care communities is when they build relationships with the family, they ask for prayer requests. And many, many of these things are confidential. The families may be struggling in the home and people don't realize it. And so when the care communities are able to communicate with them and pray for them, this just really helps them feel seen and heard and helps them foster longer. So we have 8 care communities right now, and it really has been exciting to watch relationships build. Keystone Family Alliance is doing other things like trauma-informed trainings for families, churches, and school districts. So we have an equipping director who travels around the state and will do trauma trainings for families and churches, and also she goes to school districts. Jefferson County, Brookville was our first school district that let us into the school to trauma train, and the teachers loved it. They want us to come back again, so we will do these trainings. We have a Christian perspective that we can do, but they also will do a secular perspective for school districts. We also try to bless CYS. Many times CYS, people maybe have a bad connotation for them. They're the ones that are going into the homes, pulling the kiddos, and their job can be very, very difficult. They're very understaffed, they're underpaid, and they're not the bad guy. This is just something that we need to overcome. So we have been trying to have churches bless CYS once a month with cards or notes or maybe donuts or pizza, just something to say, we see you, we know your job is very difficult, we know you're understaffed, and we're just trying to make them feel appreciated too. Other things we have going on in both Clarion and Jefferson counties, we have foster closets, and these are stocked with clothes of every size. We have strollers and cribs, beds, blankets, diapers, anything that foster families might need. And so when they get kiddos in the middle of the night and then they are struggling to find all these things, they can go into the foster closets and stock up. We also have a new mentoring program that's in the works. It's being piloted in Lancaster County right now, but it's going to become statewide soon. So this program is for teens who are aging out of the foster care system and they have never been adopted. So when the kiddos hit 18, they leave the foster system and they are not supported anymore. And the statistics for these children are not good. There's 33% of the homeless young adults were in foster care. 7 out of 10 girls who age out without a forever family will be pregnant before 21 years old. 60% of young men who are not adopted will serve time in prison. And foster care kids have a high percentage of being trafficked. So these statistics are very heartbreaking for these foster care kiddos. When they do not have a family that has adopted them, they are at a huge risk. So we are trying to, again, look into the churches for mentors for these kiddos so that when they age out, they have somebody speaking wisdom into them. They have somebody that can be a support for them. And at first, we didn't really think this was a problem in Jefferson and Clarion County, but it actually is. There are children aging out right now that we are in communication with that do not have any support at all. So if you can imagine being 18 and having no one in your corner. So this is just something that it's very needed, and we are trying to do something about it. So hopefully, the mentoring program will get a start in Clarion and Jefferson very soon. Our motto is everyone can do something. You just have to find your something. So I have just a couple stories that have come out of our staff meetings. So again, we are spread across Pennsylvania. So we have staff meetings every Tuesday just for an hour over Zoom. And we always talk about yay God stories, and across the county or across Pennsylvania, it's very encouraging to hear these stories, because sometimes things are not just happening in Jefferson County, but statewide, there's always something happening. So just in the month of May, there was a salon that decided that they were going to do hair and makeup and nails for a foster care kiddo. They invited her in and let her friends come in, and they had snacks for them, and just blessed her with a nice way to start prom. So we thought that was just a great, simple way for somebody to do something, you know, for these foster care kiddos using the resources that they had. Another story that I told at our fundraising dinner, this is one of my favorite ones that has come out of Lancaster County recently. So there was a family from Ukraine that landed in Pennsylvania, a mother and a son, and the mother ended up passing away. And so the son was 10 years old, and he was living in Pennsylvania, was put into the foster care system. They could not find anywhere to put him. No one wanted him because, he did not speak English. He was under a lot of trauma and stress because he had come from the war. And then, so there was trauma there. And then his mother dying, trauma there. And so he was a very hard case to handle. So CYS was struggling. They did not know what to do with this child. They were having a very hard time communicating with him. So they came to Keystone Family Alliance and said, do you know anybody who could take this child? Well, Keystone Family Alliance, we don't place children, but we do have a network of churches and people that we talk to. So the coordinator put an email out and said, she's like, I'll try, but I don't know anyone that would take this kiddo, but I'll try. So she put an email out and she said within a half an hour, a family responded and said that they wanted to take the boy and they may look at adopting him. And so the backstory to this was there was a family in Pennsylvania. They speak Ukrainian. And about a year ago, the Lord had placed on their heart that they were to help someone from Ukraine. And they were praying and praying and praying. And they prayed for a whole year and they did not know what the Lord had in store. And then they saw the email. As soon as they saw the email, they said, this is the kid. This is what we're supposed to do. So then they called Keystone Family Alliance. Keystone Family Alliance was able to talk to CYS and said, we found somebody. And CYS is just blown away because how did this happen? I mean, we know that it's only God, but CYS was trying and trying to find a family forever for this kiddo and couldn't find anyone. So the encouraging thing is God is moving in this area. It is just beautiful to see. And the thing that's happening is CYS is seeing this. The government agencies are seeing this. Pennsylvania Congress is seeing this. They have asked us to come speak. I think that them seeing God working and they're starting to understand that this cannot be possible any other way. So it's just beautiful seeing these stories come out of Pennsylvania. And the other exciting thing that we didn't expect is other states are seeing this happening. Maryland and New York have started asking, what in the world's going on in Pennsylvania? How can we have this happen in our state? Our director has talked to them and said, well, we're not starting Keystone Family Alliance in Maryland, but here's the model, here's what you could do. And so they're just, spreading the wisdom and knowledge so that if they want to start Keystone Family Alliance in Maryland, they can. So it's just been very exciting to see these things happening across the state. But it is also exciting to see that we are getting recognized throughout the nation as things are, as God's moving in this area. Now I want to take a few minutes to talk about Zambia. So Keystone Family Alliance, I have a couple pictures. Keystone Family Alliance, like I said before, kind of the start of Vince's heart being broken for vulnerable children happened when he took a trip to Zambia. And he had wanted to take a work trip from Keystone Family Alliance. He wanted to take some staff members over to Zambia so that they could visit, and he wanted to have some trauma trainings over there so that people could learn how to deal with kiddos with trauma. So I was not thinking about going on this trip. Honestly, I had surgery in April, and I was just kind of tired and worn out, and it was not on my radar. But my 17-year-old caught wind of it, and she was like, Mom, I want to go to Zambia. I'm like, oh, really? So I talked to my husband, and he said, well, we've let our older daughter run around all over doing mission trips. We cannot really tell the 17-year-old no once she's seen her sister go all over the place. So we decided to go on the trip. So I went with my daughter, and we were with 8 other people from Keystone Family Alliance. And we just returned about a week and a half ago from Africa. And we got to see how God was working there. There's multiple organizations that are doing different things in the northern part of Zambia. And so we got to meet some amazing people and see what they're doing there and see how God is working. So we did host trauma trainings. I think that's the first picture. So we hosted trauma trainings for 3 days. We had pastors one day, we had teachers one day, we had orphanage workers one day, and parents came also the first day. And we had over 300 people attend the trauma trainings, and they were just so surprised at this wisdom. They don't get the opportunity to have these kind of trainings ever, and so they were very appreciative to hear. We did a lot, we talked a lot about the brain and what trauma does to the brain and how you can work with kiddos and how you need to work with them a little bit differently. And so they were just very, very grateful and thankful to have this training. I think the next picture is another training. We did some activities with them that they could take home and do with kiddos that they work with. Oh, and also the last day we had a deaf school come, and our trauma trainer, Cindy King, she also knows sign language. She has a son who is deaf, and so she was able to speak to them through sign language, and they were just amazed that she knew sign language. And so that was just such a special time that we had there. Another thing that we did was we visited one of the schools that is named Blooms of Grace. This was one of the schools that Vince had founded, and we were able to take some supplies to them. We did activities for the kids and lessons for the teachers, and we ate lunch with them, and we played games with them. And you can just flip through some of the pictures from the school. During recess, we painted fingernails, and I think they played hacky sack or something with the kids. And then we went to a playground, and we had brought a parachute. This was lunch. They eat shima at almost every meal. It is made out of cornmeal. It's kind of like a thick mashed potato, sort of. And so we were helping stir the pot of shima. It was very difficult. It's very thick. So we all took a turn doing that. But they feed the kiddos at the school. They have a vegetable and a protein, and that shima. And there's the parachute. We did soccer with them and jump rope and had bubbles to play with. So the kids had a great fun day. And I think I said there's over 80 kids at this school right now. Soccer was the biggest. They call it football, and the World Cup's was going on, so that was very exciting for everybody. Another ministry that is happening over there is called Abba's Heart, and this ministry works with street kids. So on the other days, we were helping with these street boys. So we were in the city of Kitwe, and there's a whole group of boys that are runaways. They live out on the streets, and they're homeless. And in Zambia, the culture is an honor-shame culture. So if you shame your family, sometimes they will just kick you out. And so some of these kiddos have done something wrong, and they get kicked out of their family. Some of the kiddos don't like to listen to rules, and they run away from their family. Sometimes their families are abusive. Sometimes kiddos will coax their friends to come out on the street. And so there's about 55 boys who live homeless on the street. And the other problem with this scenario is there is a company in the city that makes plastic bottles. and there's a waste product that comes off the plastic bottles, and the company is supposed to dispose of it, but instead they sell it to the children, and the children sniff it, and they get high. And so these boys can buy for only a few cents a little cap full of this liquid, and they pour it into a bottle, and then they just sniff it all the time. So Abba's Heart has a rehab program that they have 15 kids living in right now, and they are trying to teach them skills. They are trying to locate their families and try to reintroduce them into their families. So they have this program, but it is very, very hard to get the kids to come to the program because they are in this trap of they like their freedom. They are numb because they're not really thinking very much from all the drugs that they're taking. And so they would rather live on the streets than go into the rehab program. So unfortunately, there's not a lot of fruit that's coming from this, but these kiddos are thought of as trash to everyone. No one pays any attention to them. They just don't even look at them. So I think sometimes we shouldn't be looking at how well the program's working, but they are trying to love these kids and they are there for them whenever they need it. So the one day they bust the kids to where the missionaries stay, and there was a big field behind the missionary compound, and the boys have shower stalls there, so they get off the bus and they go take a shower and they change into these soccer uniforms, and then they hand wash their clothes and hang them up to dry. Then they play games all morning. This picture is a picture of playing, is it Fox in the Hen House? Except they didn't have foxes there, so they wanted to change it to hyenas in the hen house. So we played hyenas in the hen house. And they feed them a huge meal there that they cook over a fire. And then they do a Bible lesson with them. They also sit down with each boy. As boys are taking showers, they sit down with each kid individually. They talk to them, they pray for them, they try to get their story, they try to figure out where they're sleeping, they try to figure out who their friends are, what they're eating, if they're eating much of anything. So they're trying to build relationships with these kiddos so that if they can talk them into going into rehab, then the relationship is there. So I think we had a little over 50 kids come that day. And there's a plate with the shema on it that we cooked on the fire for them. There's also a program for girls, and it's like a day program. There are very few girls that live on the street. It's very, very dangerous for them. But there are 5 girls who come during the day to like a learning center, and they learn their ABCs. They give them tea. And if the girls continue to come back, then they have to go back so many times and they'll earn a meal. And if they come back so many more times, they earn sides to their meal because they're trying to get the girls off the street to come to this program. But again, it's very difficult. The girls are pregnant a lot. The one we were there, she was having her 5th baby, and they're very young. So these kiddos, the boys' average age, they said, was 8 to 14. So there's definitely 8-year-olds. They looked so young because, of course, they don't have a lot of food, so they're malnourished, so they even looked younger than that. So super sad situation. So the drugs that they sniff are not very, I'm going to say, potent. If they are off of them for 3 days, then they're pretty much, they're off of them. But if they take them too long, it hurts their eyesight and their hearing. But what they're finding is the kiddos that are born that the mothers were doing the drugs are very deformed, very delayed. So it's really affecting the children, the babies. So super sad situation. So if you could lift those kiddos up in prayer and this ministry, again, I said the return is not very big on earth, but I would say in heaven it will be. And what also came out of it is my daughter, she loved it. She was like, Mom, this is just, I want to go back there. This is what I want to do. I was like, okay, Africa's far away. So that's a little hard for a mother to hear. But it was a very great trip, and everybody loved being there. And I'm sure that Keystone Family Alliance will be going back there again, especially to do the trauma training. People really appreciated that. So, as you can see, Keystone Family Alliance is moving, God's moving in many ways throughout Pennsylvania, and we are just here to tell everyone that they can do something. So, if you would like to hear about some more next steps, I have a brochure out in the back, and I have some at my seat if you want to read more about Keystone Family Alliance. And we have some QR codes. This one has the Need Bridge. That's just the signing up for an email. And this one is really low commitment. You just look at an email and see if you can meet the need. There's a joining a care community. We don't have any care communities right now that we need, but we always like to put people on our list. So if joining a care community is something you'd be interested in. And then we do have a QR code to foster and adopt, because sometimes when we come around to churches, we get people that want to foster or want to hear more about fostering. So those are some things that you can do. And the other thing that we are trying to get right now are partners for monthly donors. And our goal is 15 monthly donors this year in Jefferson County. So if that is something that maybe your church could do or individuals, you can talk to me later about it. I did forget to bring business cards, so I'm sorry. Maybe I'll stop by another day and put some business cards here too. But if you need anything, you could also email. There's an email on the back of this. It's not my specific email, but you can ask questions there. Does anybody have any questions? All right. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you listening. And I heard that your church loves missions, so I hope you enjoyed the Zambia part. And I just thank you so much for being here and for having me here. And Kathy, actually, I'm going to invite Kathy up now, because her church is a huge church that helps us out so much in Clarion County, and she was going to talk a little bit about what her church has been doing to help Keystone Family Alliance. Want to come up?
So I am Kathy Friedland. I was Kathy Smith. I'm Jim and Lois Smith's daughter. And I attended this church as a teenager, way back when this church was being planted. We were meeting in the Howard Johnson Hotel, and then we purchased this land and broke ground, and I was here through the building of this building. And then when I was a senior in high school, Pastor Baker and Judy came here for the first time. And so they were coming in as I was moving on in my life. But I've kept those ties through my parents and kind of always been interested in this church and what you're doing here. I went on to marry a pastor, and we have pastored 8 different churches all through Pennsylvania and in Ohio. And currently we are pastoring, as Linda said, Grace EC Church in Nineveh, which is just on the other side of Knox. And we're in Clarion County, and we got involved with the Keystone Family Alliance in Clarion County when they were starting a few years ago. And we have developed I am the advocate for our church, so each church has a person who is kind of the bridge between the church and Keystone Family Alliance. So I work with Linda and with Megan, who is in Clarion County, and I am kind of overseeing our family advocacy ministry, which we condense into the word FAM ministry in our church. So we have a Grace FAM. And our goal is to meet the needs of vulnerable families and people. So Linda was talking about putting together care communities. They come around people who need help at the time. Often that is foster families, but it can also be, our church sees that a little bit broader. It can also be anybody who is vulnerable, even for a short amount of time. So we have had care communities around foster families, also around a young lady who was pregnant and alone and needed support and help, and we are still with her. She had her baby, and the baby is about 18 months old now, and we have seen her through a lot of difficulty, and our goal there was to help make sure that she was stable enough that that baby would not end up in foster care. And so that's kind of coming, stepping in before the children have to be taken out and placed in a foster family. So that has been a real blessing. But also then we had a family in our church who just needed some temporary help. The husband traveled a lot for work, and the mother was pregnant, and they had two little boys already, and she ran into some difficulty with her pregnancy that she had to be on bed rest, and she just needed a temporary care community around her to give extra support and help during that crisis time. And recently the baby was born and everything is fine, and so they don't need that time, that group anymore, but we helped to take her through that time. Also, just recently, we have some elderly couples who use wood to heat in the wintertime and can't afford other heating and are getting to the place where they can't really get the wood very well anymore. And so we had this group come together and take wood from my mom's property and deliver it chopped and stacked and ready to burn at the homes of these people who need wood. And so our FAM can look at a lot of different things. Another thing that we do is we have like a food program. We have a bunch of people who have just volunteered to be cookers at different times. It's just as needed. And so we have a shelf in our freezer in the church kitchen that is designated as the FAM shelf. And when there's a need, we just send a text out to that group of ladies, and they bring food in, packaged as I kind of tell them how we need it. Sometimes we need it just a single serving package so that we can pull different servings and put together meals that people can keep in their freezer and pull out things. And sometimes it's like a quart of soup, and that we would take to a family or an elderly couple. And at the same time, we also cook once a month. We just have a group of ladies cook a big meal that we have a whole list of people who are a lot of widowers and widows that don't get out a whole lot, and people who have been sick recently, and we just have this ongoing list of people, and we make a meal for everybody and portion it all out with their names on, and then we have a group of people who takes them and delivers them and visits with them and delivers the meal. And it's just something that a lot of our vulnerable people look forward to each month. So we have kind of taken the idea of family advocacy ministry, working with Keystone Family Alliance, and we've broadened it a little bit to meet the needs of our community and our church group, our church family. And we feel like that is a way that we can be the church. God calls us to meet the needs of those around us and to share what we have with those who need help. And so our eyes have kind of been opened through working with Keystone Family Alliance to the needs of not only our congregation, but then our community too. And so we have been looking actively for ways to reach out into our community and meet needs that we see are there. And Linda said that she was coming to speak here today, and I'm glad that she invited me to come along and speak with you too, because I think every church has a lot of things to give to not only our own congregations, but to the community that we live in. And each church has their own circle of influence. And so you can take your circle of influence and see what needs are there and partner with Keystone Family Alliance in what they are doing here in Jefferson County, and also see what else, what other somethings are there for you to do that God is putting in front of you. So I think that's, is there anything else you want me to talk about?
That's good. Thank you so much.
Okay, good. You can ask other questions too, I think.
Yes.
We'll be in the back.